Hello, West Liberty.
This is James, and you're listening to 91.5 WGLZ. On today's program of Passionately Vocal, we have Academic Affairs. We are joined today by Director of Student Life, which involves Title IX, intramural sports, and on-campus events. But before she came here to work here at West Liberty University, she worked with the Washington Wild Things and held an internship with the New York City Cirilla World PR, which was the release, helped them release the Joe DiMaggio diaries. Let me introduce Kate Billings. Hello, Kate. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Been better. Wish I got a little bit more sleep, but.
And it's cold out.
Oh, yeah.
We've now turned seasons.
Yeah. Waking up to snow is definitely not something I would look forward to today.
Nope.
So, Kate, what exactly is your full title?
So here at West Lib, I'm the Director of Student Life and Title IX Coordinator. So two separate areas under one big job.
So basically you're like, all right, we're going to pay you for one person, but really you are doing like two or three.
Yeah, it depends on the university. If you look at like a bigger school like WVU, like everything that I cover is like multiple different departments with multiple different people. But at some smaller universities, depending on what they're looking at and what they want to grow and their enrollment, you know, it may be one person, it may be one office of two or three. So currently we're at one with a couple of grad assistants and some student workers. And hopefully as, you know, the university grows and our clubs and organizations and demand for different things grows, we can eventually get to the point of growing our office.
Gotcha. So with the clubs and organizations, do you oversee everyone or is it more like certain clubs?
So overall, I oversee and advise in like a big umbrella sense all clubs and organizations, so they can all come to me. I have to make sure they have all their paperwork in, any requirements, work with them in facilitating campus programming that they may do for the entire campus, not just their program, maybe working with them on facilities, depending on the type of club. We do encourage all clubs to find either a faculty or staff member that has a passion about what the club is about. So whether it's fencing or bio club, hopefully there's a faculty or staff member who can better fit that niche and provide a little bit more insight compared to myself. But in a case where maybe there is no faculty or staff interested, or the club is new and they're navigating that process of finding someone, I do step in to make sure like, hey, like, are you guys setting up your meetings? When are you having your meetings? Are you having discussions about your bylaws? Like all that type of stuff. But then overall, our office provides support for like budgeting, officer transition, different things like that to sort of help that advisor execute the best club possible.
Gotcha. I remember just when I was walking around for like the clubs and organization fair, there was one club that stood out to me, and it was the Ghost Club, the Ghost Hunting
yes,
Club.
Yes.
And part of me was like, do I want to join? Do I not want to join?
Mm-hmm.
But part of me is also like, I don't like scary things, don't like any type of haunted houses. And I'm like, I would really be stepping out of my comfort zone joining this club. But I'm very curious to now know who's in charge of that club.
So that's a new club here on campus. We used to actually have a paranormal club, so very similar my first 2 years here, so a couple years ago. So this is a reiteration of that, and there's a bunch of freshmen and sophomores who are in the club, which is awesome. A lot of new great energy, and they really want to go into facilities here on campus versus off campus. So I had suggested to them, their advisor being Marcella Snyder, because she oversees housing, because that's going to be the biggest issue. Like, okay, we've always heard stories about like maybe some ghosts in Shotwell and Shaw Hall, but there's been a lot more about like certain rooms in Rogers or Boyd or Boner and stuff like that. So I suggested to CJ when he was looking for advisors, I was like, you may want to reach out to Marcella. It may be a super good fit because she can like get you into some buildings and make sure you're abiding by their policy, but also maybe getting an inside look into like a certain like maybe empty room in Rogers that they want to do some like video or recording of type deal to see if they can catch any paranormal stuff. So yes, Marcella is currently their advisor.
That's pretty funny, because I remember there was one time for like the resident assistants, we had to do like a spooky story.
Mm-hmm.
And she told us like an actual story of like when she was in Shotwell Hall. I was so scared.
Yep.
I did not go to sleep that night for like, I would say like at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because she's like, yeah, I walked in, we started looking for the ghost. I was at, my phone was at like 90% when we started. Then we left within like 10 minutes later, it was at 20. Scary.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit more about like the student life aspect?
So in terms of student life, there's a lot of different potential there. We like to put it all underneath one umbrella because if a student comes in with an idea, you know, let's run with it. And there's the option, you know, not just campus activities, not just clubs and orgs, not just campus recreation and intramurals. You know, there's opportunities in the future for growth in terms of like, I see two areas as being leadership development and community service / volunteer hours and stuff like that. And when you think of leadership, I think a lot of people think of clubs and orgs, Greek life, etc. And that's how you're getting your leadership. But can we provide leadership opportunities, trainings, etc. for student athletes, for that leader in the College of Business, for that club leader? So when you think of student activities and student life, it's not just the traditional three or four things we cover, but the potential of growth as the university grows, as our academic departments like grow and change over time under our new strategic plan and everything like that. So essentially, but to me, it's everything outside of the classroom plus a little bit more, because the stuff you learn outside of the classroom can affect your academic career and your purpose and everything like that. There may be a student that, you know, they're a pre-med major, but then they get involved in a sorority and they're the philanthropy chair and they really love it. And they choose to change over to maybe like a business major with a concentration in something in the College of Education, like one of those interdisciplinaries, mm-hmm. because they want to work with nonprofits. So they want to talk with like Lou Karras a lot and stuff like that. And that can all start with being in a club or organization or attending a guest speaker that our office has, or even having a job in our office. You know, what you thought you may wanted to do, maybe you thought you wanted to do pharmaceutical sales, and then you work with us and you're like, man, I really like this environment. I really like working with students. I really like working in, you know, campus recreation. Do I see myself maybe working at a college in the future too? So like, we love providing those opportunities for students to rethink how they can get engaged and grow as a person outside of the classroom.
Yeah. And my brother also works, he's like the intramural GA for you. Mm-hmm. And before I became an RA, he was trying to get me to actually be a student worker.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take a short break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about Kate's past a little bit and how it was like working for the Washington Wild Things and Surreal World in New York City. This is West Liberty, WGLZ 91.5. We are College Radio and we are passionately vocal.
Hello, West Liberty, home of the Hilltop. This is Joe Mills, director of the physical plant, and you are listening to WGLZ 91.5. We are a college radio, and we are passionately vocal.
Hello, and welcome back to WGLZ 91.5, West Liberty. We are joined here with Kate Billings, who just finished talking about her current position here on campus, how she's a student life and Title IX employee. But now we are going to go back to her past a little bit and talk about her previous jobs. So, Kate, I also heard that you were an assistant general manager position with the Washington Wild Things. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. So prior to my career in higher education, I worked in sports, starting off with like community engagement and merchandising, buying everything. I during my sports career, I worked mainly in baseball. So purchasing bats, uniforms, promotional items for that, like, oh, you're going to a baseball game and the first 1,000 people get that bobblehead. I'm that person that designed that bobblehead with the company and ordered all of them. Previously I'd worked for the Wild Things. That was my most recent job prior to West Lib. And during my time there, I was given the opportunity to become an assistant general manager, specifically when we were bringing on the professional softball team. A lot of people don't realize that they're was and there still is a iteration of it. When I was there, it was the National Pro Fast Pitch. It's the league that like Jenny Finch was in, and everything like that. So during my time there, our ownership was looking at diversifying what they offered on the non-baseball days. So you normally think of like special events like concerts, maybe high schools or colleges playing at your facility, et cetera, or tournaments. But they wanted to look at something different and new. So we started looking at the National Pro Fast Pitch. And it was actually because during the All-Star game the year before, which I had planned, Washington had hosted it. So I was planning all the fun stuff for the 3 or 4 days that all the players and staff came in. We did a battle of the sexes of all the All-Stars from the Frontier League versus the National Pro Fast Pitch All-Stars. And that sort of kickstarted our ownership looking at to a team. So we decided to buy a team and bring it to Washington. So I was very involved in working with our marketing company to create the brand, the merchandise, looking at potential coaches, doing interviews nationwide, talking to players, sort of doing all of the connecting the dots as a front office, profit and loss statements of if we bring this team on, what is it going to look like in the stadium? Do we need to bring on more people? What do ticket sales have to be? So because during my time in sports, I'd sort of touched every aspect of it, ticketing, merchandising, community service. I've seen a lot in terms of like profit and loss statements and everything like that and how to put that stuff together. They afforded me the opportunity to take the title of assistant GM as we moved forward in creating that team and putting them on the field. And I then left the Wild Things, but the team stuck around for like 2 or 3 years in Washington. It was called the Washington Rebellion. It was the Pennsylvania Rebellion. It actually had a super cool logo of like the Keystone with a P and an R in it because we wanted to make sure that we were branding to the entire state because the National Pro Fast Pitch was only like 8 or 10 teams nationwide. So there was no other one in PA or West Virginia or like Maryland and stuff like that. So we chose PA even though we were on the Pittsburgh side. So the colors and themes ran Pittsburgh, but the actual name sort of went with the entire state, essentially.
Well, that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. I actually never knew that there was like a professional like fast pitch.
Yeah. Jenny Finch and all that, them, Kat Osterman, like normally they do a big draft. By big, I mean they draft the top 10 women, and there's a lot of international crossover, which is super interesting. The Pro Fast Pitch League actually during their time, and they're still, like I said, an iteration of it. Their big push was to get it back into the Olympics, which is what you're now seeing. So the years when I was there, that was the big thing, like showing the viability of it on social media, showing the viability of it on TV and ESPN, because at the time, a bunch of the games were broadcast on ESPN2 or ESPN+. Mm-hmm. So it was super interesting to see how they were using that individual's private ownership of teams to help push and, you know, a general sports presence, you know, across the world to get that back into the Olympics. So,
gotcha. And before the Washington Wild Things, you also worked in New York with Cirilo World PR. So is that like more like when you were working there, was it more social media or was it more like behind the scenes?
So it was a super small PR firm. I did my internship there when I was in college. So it really helped set the tone of what I wanted out of my career. So because it was a super small office, there was like 4 of us total. We had certain clients, but they were bigger clients. If you look up like Steiner Sports in New York, they do a lot of like the autograph stuff, authentication. They're very big with the New York Yankees. They were one of our clients. So since we were a small office, we basically did everything. People were assigned certain events, such as the Joe DiMaggio Diaries, or we covered boxing events. The one that sticks out to me the most was I was specifically given 7 weddings on 7/7/07 at a casino. So, and that's honestly where like my brain clicked that like, ooh, maybe I don't necessarily want to do PR in the sense of writing. I want to do PR in the sense of creating events, getting people involved and hyping it up and then bringing it to life. Because we did everything from soup to nuts of like, okay, we're going to reach out to the Daily News and put this out. We're going to reach out to Yonkers Raceway and see if they want to host the party / the 7 weddings, which is it was racetrack casino. Reaching out to Steiner Sports and getting 7 gifts for the couples that were sports related. So one husband got, you know, a John Elway signed jersey and everything like that. So that was specifically mine over the summer, and it was wonderful. I mean, I'm not a horrible writer, but I just didn't find joy in it. So that's why I'm always a super big proponent of like going out there and like getting internships in different ways, because you start to learn what you like and don't like. Because I had that during one summer, and then during my entire college career for 3 years, I was with Binghamton Athletics, which is Division I athletics, doing like marketing and advertising and event game management for all of their Division I sports. So putting those two together and being like, okay, this is actually what I want to do with my career, is working on the event side of sports versus PR. So, yeah.
So like all of like event planning, like that's like, yes, I want to do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So like nothing. That's pretty cool, because like for me, I would despise doing all the planning.
Yeah.
I'd just be more of a person to like on the game day, like I'd go around, like take photos and like record people. I feel like to me, that'd be more fun.
Yeah,
but
a little less stressful. I mean, I know it's stressful on like the back end of editing,
yeah,
but on the front end of event stuff, it's like, what if this person doesn't show up? What if this vendor doesn't show up? And basically being able to like the duck scenario where people like, you're like, oh my gosh, my feet are like underwater, like going a million miles a minute, but up top they look calm. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing with event planning, like something may go wrong, but as long as you don't show your client that, or the customer, whatever it may be, then there really is no problem. You can just adjust in the future. They don't know if something's wrong unless you tell them it's wrong. And that's definitely translated over my career in different events and programs and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So like, how was it in like living in New York? Cause I've heard a lot of things about it, but so like you lived there growing up. How was that?
Yeah. So I'm originally from New York, born in the Bronx, and my parents moved quote unquote upstate, which is like an hour above New York City. So we take the train in. Like my senior skip day was we all took the train down to like, we went to the Today Show and then we went to TRL. Probably really dating myself with that. TRL was a show on MTV where they showed music videos from like 3 to 4. It was like the top 10. But so we were still like living in New York. Both my parents are from the city. My mom's from the Bronx and my dad's from Manhattan. So to me, it was very like second nature, like to be comfortable there, like to just in the actual city itself. I would walk on my own and my parents would just be like, oh, there she goes. Like, and I had like no fears at all. Type deal. Like many people say, the city's changed over time. My dad says that. My dad still works in the city. It's very different than it was like 10, 15 years ago. But at the time, like, it was awesome. It was a very independent journey for me. So for that internship, I luckily did not have to like sublet an apartment like people would, depending on like the times of your, like if you were interning at KPMG, which a couple of my friends did, they would sublet an apartment for the summer, because those are super long hours working for some of those financial firms, especially like as an intern. So they would sublet. I didn't have to do that. But that did mean I had to sit on the train for like an hour, hour and 15. And you're during rush hour. So like you're crammed in there with your headphones and your computer trying to get some extra stuff done. But it was super independent. Take the train down, get on the subway, get the subway to Bryant Park. Bryant Park, walk a couple. Union Square Park, sorry, not Bryant Park. Union Square Park. Walk a couple blocks and there was our office. So it was super fun to be able to, you know, do that every day, be independent, walk around after work if I wanted to go get drinks with friends, et cetera. So super expensive. When I moved out here, I was like, oh my gosh, my money gets me so much farther. But, you know, somebody's willing to take your job if you're not there. So you have to grind. You have to make sure you're putting in your stuff. And that was my boss there at the time. He's like, if you can't complete this, we're going to get somebody else in here who can, you know? So, it was very much a fun learning experience. I don't know if I'd go back now. Like, I always thought I'd be a city girl. Like, honestly, like if you asked my dad, which of his kids were going to go to the city and work in the city, I would have been that one. And now I'm the one that's like 8 hours away from home in New York City. So, yeah, it's busy. It's stressful. But you learn a lot about yourself. So even for people out here, I'm like, if you have the opportunity and you can financially swing it, like, do it for a year, do it for a summer. Or even if it's like somebody going down to DC, like, you'll learn a ton about yourself, different types of people.
That's very nice. Well, Kate, thank you very much for coming on our show today, telling us a little bit about your past and your current position here at West Liberty University.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Let's get back to the music here on WGLZ 91.5 FM, West Liberty. We are College Radio, and we are passionately vocal.